Episode 255, Proverbs 11. This is the show where I read a proverb every day and you sit there listening to it. That's right. Y'all know what time it is. All right. Proverbs 11. See, I was doing the wrong thing there. It happens. All right. So we're going to get right into this. But you know what? Let me take a quick moment and pray for you. And just pray a little bit for all of us, I guess. Father God, thank you so much for another day. Thank you for my friend here who is gathered with you as well. And I do pray that you would be a blessing to them in the ways that they need to be blessed today. That's for some that might mean encouragement, for some that might mean admonishment, some that might mean that they just need a little bit more of a boost, some that might mean wisdom. Whatever it is, I pray, Father, that you would put that to them today, that that be a feast that they are that is set before them, that they can have that to feast on. Father, we love you and we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Awesome. Here we go. Proverbs 11. False scales are an abomination to Adonai, but accurate weights please him. First comes pride, then disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. So you can kind of see that I don't know, it's like a going in reverse. So when we say we're going backwards in the faith, that sort of thing, that's kind of what that looks like. That there's that pride, if that's the first priority, if that's first, then disgrace is after that. But with humble, that's where wisdom starts. So that is a key here. So if you don't have that humility, then it is impossible for you to get wisdom. So if it is the first comes pride before destruction or disgrace, then humble has to be before wisdom. You can't get humble because you get wisdom. It doesn't work that way. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the duplicity of the treacherous destroys them. So we're seeing more of these contrasts, aren't we? Here's one side of the equation, here's the other side. Verse 4, on the day of wrath, wealth doesn't help, but righteousness rescues from death. No proverbs about sneezing, at least not that I know of, but I didn't want to have to make you suffer through that one. Oh my gosh. Verse 5, the righteousness of the innocent levels their way, but wickedness of the wicked makes them fall. I think verse 5 there, I want to say that there's the levels their way, make straight their paths is another way to interpret that. But I like the levels interpretation here of making it easier, not just sure, but easy. The righteousness of the upright rescues them, but the treacherous are trapped by their own intrigues. When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes, but what he hopes for from evil comes to nothing. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked comes to take his place in trouble. Just with his mouth, the hypocrite can ruin his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there is joy. It is what it is. By the blessing of the upright, a city is raised up, but the words of the wicked tear it down. Actually, I'm not sure why these are all grouped together like they are, but it's very interesting that that is going on. One of these days, I actually want to study that part of it more to figure out, like, it's like there's sectionals, and I want to kind of dive into that one of these days and have those as individualized little studies. That's an ambitious sub project of mine. We'll see if it ever gets done among everything else. Verse 12, he who belittles another lacks good sense, whereas a person of discernment stays silent. A gossip goes around revealing secrets, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Without clever tactics, an army is defeated, and victory comes from much planning. He who guarantees a loan for a stranger will suffer, but refusing to underwrite is safe. Yeah. Verse 16. A gracious woman obtains honor. Aggressive men obtain wealth. So, a little bit about that. That's not, by the way, saying that obtaining wealth is good in and of itself. It's better to have honor than wealth. And so it is interesting that there's a designation of gender in there. I'm actually not sure why that is. But nonetheless, graciousness means honor. Aggressiveness, you might get wealth, but yeah. Doesn't really mean anything. Don't have honor. So that's kind of what that's getting at there. Verse 17, a man who is kind does himself good, but the cruel does harm to himself. Again, it's not about like being rewarded or punished outside of ourselves. We're doing just fine on our own as far as kindness or cruelty. We do plenty on our own. Verse 18, the profits of the wicked are illusory, but those who sow righteousness gain a true reward. Genuine righteousness leads to life, but the pursuer of evil goes down to his own death. The crooked-hearted are an abomination to Adonai, but those sincere in their ways are his delight. Depend on it, the evil will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will escape. Depend on it. Like a gold ring in the pout of in the snout of a pig, is a beautiful woman who lacks good sense. In other words, gentlemen, careful what you're early after. The righteous desire only good, but what the wicked hope for brings wrath. Verse 24, some give freely and still get richer, but while others are stingy, but still grow poorer. The person who blesses others will prosper. He who satisfies others will be satisfied himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but if he sells it, blessings will be on his head. So something this to me, and I know I have a mixed audience, and so I'll just say it bluntly that, you know, I have a lot of people in my circles that are entrepreneurial in nature, and a lot of folks kind of embrace this concept of realizing that they have something to offer the world that's valuable. We talked about this yesterday, that there is a notion of, you know, not seeking wealth for wealth's sake, but and not doing it by illicit gain, but by offering the world something that's of value, and they decide, yes, it's worth value. So grain is something that would be valuable, right? And so if somebody's withholding grain, in other words, they're holding it back, they're like unsure, you know, and whatever reason it is, it doesn't matter if it's like, well, I just don't know if I should sell this. Maybe I'll need it later. People won't buy it. It's no good. This grain's not really as good as other people's grain. I shouldn't really be selling this. I shouldn't really do that. You know, grain, you know, people might have celiac or something, so they shouldn't have grain. So I'm just not going to sell it. I'm just going to go over here and just keep it over here. Maybe that triggers somebody today in a good way. But if he sells it, blessings will be on his head. Not if he gives it away. I'm sure that the giving it away will be blessings too, but there's a blessing in that commerce. There's a blessing in adding value to the world with what you have, whether it's something you've been given as a gift, if it's a talent you've been born with, whatever that looks like, if something you developed. Yeah, don't hold it to yourself. Verse 27. He who strives for good obtains favor, but he who searches for evil, it comes to him. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like sprouting leaves. It's that trust. What do you trust in? Verse 29, those who trouble their families inherit the wind, and the fool becomes slave to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. If the righteous are paid what they deserve here on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? The righteous are paid what they deserve here. How much more the wicked and the sinner? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are literally saying things like, oh, why is God punishing me? Why is my life so awful? And they're trying to be righteous, and they feel like they're being punished for it or whatever. And, you know, how much worse is it going to be for those that aren't trying, for those that are, you know, wallowing in their wickedness? And whether they know it or not, that's really a debatable kind of a thing. And I can't know the men, you know, men's hearts or women's hearts or, you know, anything like that. God does, though. But what's our perspective here? What's our notion? You know, if we think of suffering, but we don't know suffering, not even close. How much more are the wicked suffering? If you're watching this, I'm guessing that there's people that are, you know, wallowing in this wickedness that are suffering, and I'm willing to bet more than you. I'm not saying that to belittle anything you're going through, but you've got to know that God is not a God of, you know, wanting to endlessly punish any of us. If that was true, he wouldn't have sent Jesus down. He wouldn't have given up his only son. It wouldn't have happened, but it did. So yeah, there is things that make us suffer here on this earth. but it's only for a while. It's only here on Earth. How much more are people that are in this mode of suffering going to continue suffering? How awful is that? How just utterly bleh. So I guess I'm just saying don't wallow in your suffering or make it a badge you wear or make it your point to be constantly saying to the whole world around you how awful life is when you know that there's much more in store for the people that are wicked. These comparisons that, you know, oh, well, why isn't God showing me favor? Why is he letting other people benefit? First of all, it's a very temporary benefit. Second of all, never assume that you know what other people are going through. Never assume that. You don't. You don't know what secret battles they're facing. You don't know what kind of things they're suffering with. You don't know what life is like for them. Don't pretend to. The rain falls on us both, the righteous and the wicked. If we had a system where the rain only fell on those who, you know, either needed it or didn't want it, what would that look like? That would be a chaotic world that we'd be living in. I don't want to live in that world, you know. And if it takes having the occasional bump with something not ideal, so be it. But I'm not living for this world. My thoughts aren't long term here. This is a temporary post. Anyway, hope that helps encourage somebody today, or at least try to. I'm not going to sit here and just be all cheery like, oh no, life is good and you're just not seeing it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your perspective matters and your character matters. And if you let your suffering become a point of pride, let me just remind you what that's all about right up here. If your suffering becomes pride, then disgrace is next. But if your suffering leads you towards humility, that's where wisdom is found. That's where righteousness is found. That's where ultimately the path of success is. Being prideful in how awful life is, it's not going to get you anywhere. So you have a choice. You can either accept that or not. And I am not affected by either of your choices, but you are. And so I do encourage you to take that seriously and make the right choice. It's as simple as that. Love you guys. And we will see you here again tomorrow. Again, best way to experience this is by being a subscriber here on YouTube to whatever I'm calling the channel this week. But the way to get Proverbs every day is to ring that little bell icon to make sure you get a notification. Or if you don't have a YouTube account, don't want to have a Google account, my recommendation is to set an alarm on your watch that I'm not wearing. Like, that's not right. There's always a watch there. Or on your phone or whatever device. Set a time aside every morning to do this, or afternoon or evening or whatever it is. Set aside a time, make it a thing, and allow this to be part of your daily life, just like I'm making it part of mine. This is that simple. You can get subscribed by going to 11talents.co/YT, and then encourage your other friends to do the same. Hope you are blessed by the best, my friends. And then you're a blessing to all the rest. I will see you yet again tomorrow. Proverbs 12, coming at you tomorrow. Love you guys.